Is this something special? Is this a special? Look at this. This is something special. This is worst thing to ever happen to me. This is... What a nightmare this is. I gotta do this now for an hour. When they called me, they were like, hey, Robbie, you wanna do an hour special in Toronto? Okay, hope you like the Holocaust. That's on you. You know, but it is honestly, it's a little Auschwitz-y in here, if I'm honest. No, Crave, they want you to feel comfortable. They do. It's very nice. It's very nice. A touch too gas chambery for me, if I'm honest. Are those claw marks? That's not... No, I feel at home. I feel at home. It's better for me. No, I feel much, much better. Yeah. No, but it is good to be back here in Toronto. Love this city. Yeah. After I finished school in Montreal, I actually moved here for 3 years. Anybody seen me here? I like to think I made a dent in this city. But yeah, I'm originally actually from New York. I'm originally from Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York. Yeah, anybody else grow up Hasidic without a childhood? Okay, just me. Yeah. Hasidic to gay, anything can happen. It's amazing. It's really amazing. Yeah. Hasidic to scissoring, dreams do come true. I want you to know. You put your mind to something, anything can happen. Now, any non-Hasidic people here tonight? It's amazing when you grow up a certain way. You always assume the population is that way. You know, 9 out of 10 shows that I go to, I think the audience is Hasidic. And 10 out of 10 shows, they're not. So... First of all, anybody been to New York? You clapping for that shithole? That dump? It's a crumbling empire is what it is. Have you been there? A lot of people don't know this, but the subway was designed by the same guy who did the Auschwitz train. So, fun fact, a lot of people do not know that. No, but maybe I was young. Maybe it's because I was young in New York and I don't remember it quite the same, but New Yorkers are very proud of New York now. New Yorkers are very into being from New York. New Yorkers love New York, and I don't always remember New Yorkers being so sensitive. Now New Yorkers are really into it. New York, it's the greatest city in the world. Here in New York City, you get a slice of pizza at 4 a.m. Greatest city in the world. What are you, 12? This is your fucking benchmark for a city? Even the enthusiasts, even the people doing this, how often are they doing pizza at 4 a.m? That is worth $4,000 for cockroaches. How often? And even this pizza culture, if I can talk about for half a second before we get started here. This pizza culture that's going around amongst young people, grown-ups, adults, people in their 20s and 30s glorifying pizza. Again, like it's the greatest fucking thing to ever happen. You know, you're a sushi? Is that a good meal? Dip it into some low sodium soy? Delicious. You ever have pad thai? Sprinkle some nuts on there, it's delicious. And you're still talking about pizza. I see 5-6 memes a day. I don't know, you guys follow the fat Jewish. 5-6 memes a day about pizza. 37-year-old man. Posting about pizza makes me sick. Pizza's the last fucking resort. That's what it is. I'll admit, I get hungry. Even tonight, on the way to the show, I thought, I'm a little hungry. Maybe I'll grab a slice of pizza. Grab a slice of pizza on the way to the show. And now, I'll wait till later, cut up a red pepper, have something. And you're still talking about pizza. I had a friend, somebody I once considered a friend, if I'm honest. come to show me. Pizza tattoo. What do I think of her new pizza tattoo? Get that the fuck away from me. That's what I think about your pizza tattoo. You're a 32-year-old woman. Should be ashamed of yourself. Supposed to look up to this person. 32-year-old woman. Supposed to aspire to somebody with pizza on their arm? I don't think so. Oh, I love that dried fruit. You have this? Is that Hashem's candy? Have you had this? Oh my God. Oh my God, I had to. You ever have dried apricots? Those are my fave. I love dried apricots. Really delicious. I just discovered them. My girlfriend and I, we went 2 hours away. We were on a little road trip, and she had a delicious bag dried apricots from Trader Joe's. You don't have that here. Anyway, I'm driving. She's in the passenger. She's passing me the apricots. We are responsible people. She's passing me the apricots as I'm driving. I had, what, 16, 20 apricots? I don't know. They're delicious. I love them. But I don't know how they're made. I don't know how they do it, you know? So I was, like, driving, and I picked up one of the dried apricots, and I turned to my girlfriend, and I was like, hey, babe, like, how is this made? Like, it's like each dried apricot, is it like the dried mangoes? Like, they slice up a mango, dry it, and bag it? Or is each dried apricot, like, is it a full apricot? Is each dried apricot a full apricot? And she goes, yeah, each dried apricot is a full apricot. So I just had 16 fucking apricots? In a single sitting? I mean, even if you're on Weight Watchers, even if you're doing the points, I'm sure it's 0 points, but it's the problem. So in the bathroom for 4.5 hours. Do we have any chefs or cooks here? Any chefs or cooks? Thank God. Thank God. I'm gonna say something. A little bit of an unpopular opinion. A little bit controversial. Do you know what I mean? But I don't think making food is that hard. We've only been doing it forever. Besides fucking, it's really the only other thing we know how to do. You are not a neuroscientist. You are not working on the depths of black holes. You're making food. Yet there are 37 cooking shows. Everybody's sweating. Racing the clock down to the last second to put a piece of parsley on a plate. Just leave it for 20 minutes, it'll be fine. It's either 20 minutes or golden brown, that's it. So the two things, golden brown, 20 minutes. I can make food. I'm not saying I can make good food, but I can make it. I cannot do surgery. If I do your surgery, you're dead. But I can make food. Oh, foodies? I never met a foodie who wasn't the most boring 9-to-5 loser living for the weekend that I ever saw. Have you seen these people? Foodies? I had a grown man, another 30-year-old, have a conversation with me. A grown man have a conversation with me, and he was talking to me, and he self-proclaimed himself a foodie to me. Can you imagine the state of this man? That he used this cutesy word to tell me he eats? That you like food? So does the rest of the world. But an original over here. It's like somebody using a cutesy word like panties for underwear. Get the fuck out of here, you perv. Husband, I brought my wife panties for her birthday. Did she call the police? Makes me sick. He's telling me he likes oysters. He's telling me these Atlantic oysters, you know? I like to eat these Atlantic oysters. Yeah, you like to eat oysters? I eat pussy. How's that for you? Yeah, I like it raw too, from Atlantic. That's what I do, from Atlantic. That's where I fish. But I think it's actually symptomatic, these foodies, it's symptomatic of a larger issue going on in this country that nobody is talking about. Nobody is talking about it. Millions of people being affected. Millions of people being untreated, undiagnosed, but zero personality disorder has become an epidemic in this country. It's the reason we have white people rock climbing. And white people slacklining in the park, bouncing on a string between two trees. 33 years old, have you seen this? But it's sad, the suffering. And my heart goes out, it really does, it really does. Because they think that doing activities equates for having a personality. This is what they falsely believe, and it's very unfortunate, but you know what? You know what? These people, they're very good at manipulating. They're very good at gaslighting, so you have to know the signs. So I'm here, because you'll be talking to a person with zero personality disorder. And they'll make you feel like it's you. You know, because you're like talking to this person, you're like, this is weird. They're saying all these neat things. You know, they did that soul cycle. And they were just at snakes and lattes. Saying all these neat things, but somehow still have nothing to say. Don't take it personally. It's not you, it's the zero personality disorder. It's gone untreated, it's very sad. It's very, very sad. You know, and I do feel bad for these people. I do, because they must be exhausted come Monday morning, their regular jobs, from having to have packed in all these activities into the weekend. So that they have what to talk about come Monday morning at the cooler. And my heart goes out, they must be exhausted. People ask me, what do I do on the weekend? Nothing, because I got a personality. So I got no shame sitting with a laptop on my chest watching 6 hours of RuPaul's Drag Race. But you know what, these people, it's the same people, you see them, I was just in New York for the past year. It's very bad there with the financial district happening there, all of Manhattan. It's very bad in New York. It's the same guys in the nice suits who thinks the jazzy socks gives them a personality. Yeah, and they think they're one step ahead of you, right? They're walking down the street. They're like, I know how it looks. You don't think I have a personality. It's because you haven't seen the polka dots. You haven't seen the dots. Just picture these guys at the tailor like, actually, could you leave a quarter inch on the leg? I like that when I sit, women should think I have a personality. I got mini hot dogs on my feet. I got mini hot dogs on my feet. 34-year-old man, I got mini hot dogs on my feet. Fuck out of here. The same guys who wear the lace-up ankle boots, but that have a zipper on the side. Makes me sick. Grown man can't do up his shoe. He's making you come. He's not making you come. He can't even do up his shoe. Velcro shoe and leave us alone already. And nothing against, by the way, I don't know if I came off wrong, nothing against the shoe or the sock industries. I love socks, I think it's an, just disclaimer, nothing but respect for socks. I think socks are an excellent product. It's a great volume business I very much respect. You know, the inventor of socks, I mean, he must be, dare I say, a billionaire by now. To come out with such an inventive product to take the discarded sleeves from t-shirt factories, sew one end together, sell it for a profit. I mean, I know a lot of people, I don't know anyone who doesn't have socks. So again, but I do think the finance guys have co-opted it in a way that's problematic. Anyway, now I live in LA. Now I live in LA and it's a lot more segregated. I don't see the finance guys as much. I like that. It's a lot easier for me to live my daily life. You can imagine what I go through daily. So I'm in Los Angeles, it's a little more separate, and I really, really enjoy that. Yeah, actually, my girlfriend and I, we moved from Toronto. This was the last place I was before moving to Los Angeles. We moved from Toronto to Los Angeles. We packed up a van, moved cross country, lesbians, obviously. I will say, the only thing dykier than two lesbians going cross country together in a van is two lesbians going cross country in a van with their cat. So we brought the cat because I've been a lesbian 10 years now. I gotta up the ante. But we drove from here to Los Angeles. Anybody do the afternoon drive from Toronto to Los Angeles? If you have a couple hours, ah, really? Very scenic route. It's the only route you can take. Really. But you guys like road trips? People like road trips? Not a very Jewish thing, the road trip. Vans, cattle cars, it's all the same to us. Where are we going? We don't like it, you know? There's not much to do on a road trip. I guess you get to think a lot, right? You're looking outside, you look at scenery, you're thinking a lot. Not a great idea for somebody like me to encourage this type of thinking. There I am driving. You ever notice nothing good ever happened by a ravine? It's always the most heinous of crimes happening by the most obscure forms of water. The two boys weren't playing with the lake when they drowned. They were dealing by the ravine. The girls weren't building a sandcastle when the ocean swept them up. They fell into the gorge. The fuck's a gorge? I don't care for brooks and creeks either. And anybody who knows the difference between a brook and a creek, I'm suspicious of. Can we minority report arrest these people? What's going on? Why even call them a brook and a creek? Just call them murder spots. That's what they are. Why the euphemism? We drove through 10 states and, you know, I guess you get to see a lot of flowers. So I love flowers. People don't take me for some, I'm being serious, it's a positive note in my set. It's not going anywhere negative. I just love flowers. People don't take me for somebody who loves flowers, but I just think they're gorgeous. I just... I just love everything about them. You know, but some people will say, flowers are stupid. They don't do anything. What the hell do you need flowers to do for you? They look fucking amazing. Do you see these colors they got out of nowhere? They got oranges and reds and blues, deep blues. Out of nowhere, nature. Rocks do shit all. People don't give rocks a hard time. Why do people give flowers? Because flowers do shit all, but they look fucking amazing. When you're that hot, you don't have to do anything. And don't worry, the people who don't like flowers, you're not getting them anyway. They know what they're doing, believe me. Anyway, my girlfriend and I packed the van. We moved here in March, and there was a snowstorm, Canada. And we got to the border in March, and because of the snowstorm, there was no traffic at the border. Is this a Shabbos miracle? This is what makes my day. This is like, I was like, babe, no traffic. We're gonna get right through. We pull the van in. Border Patrol agent has us roll down the window, looks through the car and goes, yeah, I don't see you getting in tonight. Not exactly the American homecoming I was expecting. But I think it's important to remember these are damaged people. It's really very sad. Often from broken homes. Often from broken homes. It's really very sad. Often the father gone. It's very, very terrible. I can relate. I can relate. And to think the state of where they're at, that they didn't excel so far through the police academy to end up as these glorified mall cops of sorts. So my heart goes out. Anyway, he says, keys on the dash, head inside. We put the keys on the dash. We head inside to meet the second Border Patrol agent. Not any nicer. Not any nicer than the one outdoors. Yeah. Related. Actually, yeah. Brothers, in fact. Yeah, the father gone from a particularly young age. It's very sad. I can relate, it's very sad. He looks at us, then he looks back at our packed van, then he looks back at us and goes, how do I know you ain't got a dead body in the back of that van? Listen, bro. Just one of those things you're gonna have to use a little professional judgment. A little seichel. And explore the possibility of this. But then I thought, many times I have thought of killing a man. But never quite thought I had it in me to follow through. But here was a stranger, a man who saw a fire in me. That I had not yet seen in myself. And I thought, hell say I did kill a man. Is my next move to drive it over the border? Is this what these brainiac murderers are doing now? We killed a man, but his mother, she's in Missouri. We thought the least we could do is bring the body back for a proper burial. Let her pay her respects. We're Canadian murderers after all. We're not animals. Do you guys ever travel as a lesbian? Question just for the lesbians. That's how I contribute back to my community. No, but it's tough. I think traveling has obviously gotten very, very tough for everybody. But I think lesbians need a certain leniency. A certain extra leniency with the overhead compartment bag. Basically, anything over 7 inches can be considered a baton. Recently, I was traveling with anywhere between 2 and 4 batons. Who can predict the mood? I barely know whether to bring a jacket or not. You think I know what fucking inches I need? Anyway, I put the bag through, goes through the scanner, comes out the conveyor belt on the other end. Border Patrol guy there opens it up and goes, I got a couple basic security questions for you today. You traveling business or pleasure? The fuck does it look like with 65 batons in front of you? Zip it up! We had a good time. But I know that I look like a normal person. Thank you. Thank you. But this is the face of a person who eats boiled eggs, son of a bus. I once took a bus from Boston to Toronto, 9 hours. 9 hours, yeah. Somebody came on and said, hey, can I sit next to you? I said, yeah, bro, you could sit next to me, but I'm gonna eat these 4 here eggies. I gotta peel them first. We're married now, it's very nice, it's very nice. It's a connecting, very unifying experience is what it is. But I travel, you know what, I've now lived in some major cities across Canada, the US, and I find that the longer I spend in the city, I really have gotten very good at knowing the morals and the values of a city very quickly, and I'll give you the trick. Anytime you want to know a city, get to know it very quickly, you just look at their institutions, how they run their universities, colleges, hospitals, that sort of thing. For instance, the kids' hospital in New York that I was born at is called the Long Island College Hospital. Pretty self-explanatory. It's a teaching college. It's also a kids' hospital. In Montreal, the kids' hospital was called Centre de Jeunesse. Is that beautiful? Center of Youth. Is that really beautiful? Here in Toronto, it's just sick kids. Feels a little insensitive. For a Canadian city. When I first moved here, I was driving with my friend Natalie, and we saw this big building there. Sick kids written right on there. I go to Natalie, I'm like, what's that? She's like, yeah, that's the kids' hospital here. That's how we do it. No, we don't sugarcoat it here. They just file in. What are the patients called? Sickos? What are you doing? I grew up in a very competitive society, though. I don't know if you guys play sports or whatever. I grew up in a very competitive community. You know, like when I was a kid, other kids would come up to me and they'd say, my father is bigger than your father. I'd say, yeah? Well, my father's dead. And I'd walk away. Because when I was a kid, I was a sicko. You hear me? I still am. My father is alive and well. Lives in Las Vegas, Nevada. But I'm not about to debate another 7-year-old how big our fathers are. We can't even see what's happening up there. In hindsight, as a grown-up, I realize my father is quite tall. Two for a Jew, not bad. So I have a small fantasy. It's a small dream. Getting the group of girls back together again. Getting the old crew back together again. And once and for all clarifying, actually, my father is bigger than your shrimp fucking dad. Small fantasy from a mature person who stands before you. But, you know, I think people have this misconception of the Jewish mother. I think we grew up secular. I think people think a Jewish mother is a very overbearing mother, right? What did you eat? Do you have a sweater? Things like that. But I grew up with an old school, religious Jewish mother. Very different experience. I never had a kiss better. You know what a kiss better is? Don't know what it is still. I said, witchcraft, what the hell is it? Never had a kiss better. You know, like when I was a kid, my brother found a skateboard. And I thought, oh, this is what I'm going to be great at. 8 years old. I never saw a Jew do anything athletic my entire life. I looked at the sport and I thought, I'm going to be great at this. This is going to be my thing. I get up there in my jean jumper. You ever wear a jean jumper? Not a very light material. Hop on the board. I'm going for 3 seconds before I fly off it. My face hits the pavement, I'm gushing blood. I hold my face, gushing blood, I run home. You think when I got home, my mother kissed it better and said everything's gonna be okay? No, she said, look at you! Look what you did! You're gonna need skin grafts! You're gonna need skin grafts! Just about to make supper, I needed this like a Lachen cup! English translation from the Yiddish, like a heavy head. I don't know in either language why you would ever need or not need a heavy head. And we can't go to Long Island College Hospital because your brother was just there for a broken pinky. They keep records of this stuff. You want to be taken away? Is that an option? I will go. So now we're in the cab to the other kid's hospital, and the whole time in the cab, she's going, they're gonna shave off your thigh and stick it on your face. You're gonna need skin grafts. We get to the doctor, he gives me an ointment. I'm good as new a week later. My mother told me I was gonna need skin grafts, 8 years old. You wonder why I'm so nervous all the time. The cap, I was thinking, if they take it from the thigh, what are they gonna put on the thigh? Are they gonna take the other thigh? Then it's, either way, something's going. Your guess is as good as mine. I once forgot my gym uniform at school. I forgot my gym uniform. You couldn't do, if you had gym that day and you didn't have your gym uniform, the whole shit fell apart for some reason. Couldn't compute. So I got sent to the office because I didn't have my gym uniform. And the principal was like, well, we're gonna have to call your mother and she's gonna have to bring you your uniform. I was like, you think my mother. With 16 loads of laundry, is gonna come to bring me my uniform? Put it on speaker, I wanna hear. My mother picked up, all she said was, she's your responsibility from 8 to 4, click. That was the end of that. But, you know, anybody else grew up religious, maybe Catholic, something like that? Don't move Catholicism. They have their own issues, believe me. But I think when you grow up religious, and I'm not anymore, I think you notice things. You notice there's a difference, you know, in the secular world. Secular people, how most of us live right now, put a lot of emphasis on things that I never cared about as a kid. You know, secular people, for instance, care a lot about birth order. They attribute a lot of characteristics and qualities to a person by their birth order. You know, like, do we have any firstborns here? Such leaders here in the audience, thank you. Thank you for coming, yeah, thank you for coming. I feel safer knowing you're here, honestly, I do, thank you. Such leaders, yeah. Do we have any middles, any tips? It's okay, middles, you can participate. Yeah, Jeremy, he just finished at Brandeis. We're very proud. We're very proud. He did very well. He did very well. Yeah, he is back with us. He is back with us at the house. Yeah, yeah. Ultimately, he could not decide what he would pursue. Typical middle. I'm 7. I've yet to read of what qualities and characteristics are associated with being 7th born. Am I a typical 7? I think so. Are they all this insane? It's very possible. You know, I don't get to meet enough 7s. You know, I'm trying to meet as many 7s as I can, so I can gather the data that I need to know what I can blame my shit on too. But in order to meet the amount of sevens that I would need for this study, I'd probably have to go back about like 300 years or something. But by then I'd have to adjust for inflation and I would be gay, and would that be weird? Or would they also be gay? Are all sevens gay? We don't know. We don't know. But would they feel comfortable to tell me or to talk to me? Or maybe we would have an inherent connection, like a person in a Jeep sees another person in a Jeep. Would we have that? I like to think we might. Like to think we might. Yeah, my sister's nine. Such wonderful people. Oh, if you have a chance, go out, meet the nines. There's no heart like a nine. The eight's a little two-faced. A little two-faced, the eights. You know, but my parents, I have five brothers and four sisters. My parents had 10 kids, all in their 20s. By the age of 30, they had 10 kids. You know what? Oddly enough, they used protection, so would have been a lot more. Obviously, you know, that's a joke, but I always think about now, because I grew up on that side of things, now I think about the pro-life movement, if we want to call it, these pro-life nutters. I think about them, and I wonder what they think, like a pro-life man, like, If you're a pro-life man and you fuck your pregnant wife, do you consider that a threesome? Follow the logic through. It's a person. What are you having, this incestual sicko threesome, you sickos? Weirdos. Makes me sick. If my parents had 10 kids, all singles, no twins, thank God. Twins who think that's a personality, please. Identical. Nobody tries to convince you more how different they are than identical twins. You ever notice this? I was out and I met 36-year-old identical twins. I met them the other day and I was like, hey, what's the first thing you say to identical twins? You're like, hey, what's it like to be identical twins? And they're like, yeah, well, we look alike, but we're actually very different. Well, you're not very different. I mean, genetically, you're the same. Very different would be if one of you is you and the other is Rihanna. That's very different. I wouldn't even consider my sister and I very different. I mean, we have the same two parents. Pretty similar already. She happens to have grown up in the same house on the same block as me. Oopsie, we're getting closer. What are the chances? And it's always something like, well, she was always into soccer, and I always did basketball. Both sports! I found the common denominator in 2 seconds. Very different. Also, we don't care, just two more people not to like. Very easy. Very easy. You know, but my mom, she did have a lot of kids, and she would always complain about the kids, as you can imagine, too many kids. And I would say, hey, Ma, no problem. So we'll put me up for adoption, see if something comes up. So if nothing comes up, I'll stay here, no harm, no foul. We'll take a picture of me in front of the good wall. And if the lady calls back, so she calls back. If not, I'll stay here. Maybe there's a family in Manhattan, I don't know. You know, look at me coloring in the lines. Do you know another 6-year-old shading? I'm shading at 6. I could do well in Manhattan, Ma. I could do well. But she never went for it. But I moved back, I moved back to the U.S. I moved back to Los Angeles just in time, actually, for the next Holocaust. Yeah, that's great timing. Great timing. Excellent timing. Excellent timing. Excellent timing. Just in time. We're ready for you now. Great. No, but seriously, you know, seriously, this is all jokes aside. Hoffman is a German Jewish last name. I was excited. I just got my 23andMe back. You guys do this 23andMe? Do 23andMe? Yeah. It was really exciting, you know. I got my 23andMe back, opened it up, and all it said was, oops, looks like they missed a spot in the Holocaust. That can't be right. That can't be right at all. Not worth the $79, I can tell you that much. I see why they had that sale now. Yeah, but you know, I think Holocaust jokes, by the way, go well everywhere, as you can imagine. It's all the clubs want capes for. Yeah. Hey, Robbie, can you do a tight 10 on the Holocaust? How's an hour? Is an hour good for you? No, but I think the Holocaust is only funny when you're not in it. Still a touch too soon to tell. Yeah, you know, but I am trying to be prepared this time around. What can we do, right? I'm trying to learn from my heritage, trying to be prepared this time around. If anybody does know of an attic with bookshelf access, do let me know. Been working on my indoor voice. Yeah, does not come naturally to a Jew like me. Does not come naturally, yeah. I grew up thinking when your hand was here, you were automatically whispering. No idea it had anything to do with the actual fucking volume of your voice. But I'll say this, I've been looking on the attic market in LA. I've been looking, and I'll say this, hiding isn't cheap. No. An attic in LA will run you $1,700-$1,800 US a month. Yeah, nobody ever really talks about it, but Anne Frank had a pretty good deal. What was that, $0 for a 3-bedroom attic that sat 7 comfortably? So even if their landlord did raise the rent by the annual allowable percentage, 0 times anything, it's still 0. So, you know, I'm not saying it's gonna be harder this time around, but now I gotta make rent whilst hiding. So there is an added level of complication there. You know, 314 pages of that diary, didn't see one page, and how's she gonna make rent? Trying to think about, like, what I could do up there for an income, I don't know. Maybe I could open some kind of illegal telemarketing company and whisper my sales calls. Well, she gets to make out with her cousin, so. I don't know. Doesn't seem right. Even if my cousin was there, Daniel Latosky, not much. Doesn't do. Not much for me. Doesn't quite do it for me. Yeah. And you want to tell me the Franks? The Franks were Jewish. Anne Frank was Jewish. 7 Jews whispering for 6 years? I don't think so. But it's actually interesting. They reckon, can I use that word? They reckon that Anne Frank got wind of the fact that her diary might be published. Towards the end of the war, they started already seeing that artifacts were being collected for history's sake. And they know this because they noted that later diary entries were edited. She started editing later diary entries in her book. I mean, she really was an author. And some book she wrote really read very real to me, I don't know. Almost convinced me the whole shit actually happened. I mean, just a prolific writer. Attention to detail, the J.K. Rowling of her time. Really. Shame we didn't get the sequel. It really is. The movie, yeah. It's no, but not to diminish. I mean, I think it's amazing to think that a single Jew survived the Holocaust. Let alone that there are thousands of survivors is astounding to me. It's really amazing. Because I just think about me in the Holocaust. I would just get to the work labor camp the first day. I'm with Natalie, we're nude. We're cold. I'm uncomfortable. Natalie enjoys to be naked, so maybe she finds it titillating for the first little while. I don't know. Just look over at her and I'm like, how many bricks did they say they wanted us to move? Because I'm looking at the pile. I think I can do two or three. Maybe a fourth with an extra morsel of bread. I don't know. We'd be in the barracks at night, cold. I'd be like, so do you think we adjust the thermostat or is it somebody, because I don't want to break their hydro bill, but is somebody going to come in just a notch or two, something. And Natalie, did they happen to mention the towel? Like, do we get a new towel every morning? Do we pick up the towel? I mean, I am happy to use the same towel for the week. No towels. Okay, it's no towels. Okay. We're going no towels. Okay. Like, how do you open a manual labor camp with the least manually laborly inclined people of all time? I go up to the SS officer the first day, excuse me, sir. I think I'm in the wrong department. I excel at Excel. Yeah, you'd be amiss not to put me in the accounting department. You'd be amiss not to put me in the accounting department. I could take a look at the numbers, get this operation going again, get it productive again. Because it wasn't a very productive endeavor. When we think about the Holocaust, not very productive. You know, like we were in those manual labor camps, what, 6 years, 1939 to 1945? 6 years we were in these building manual labor camps. 1939, 1945, 6 million workers. 6 million workers. The Nazis recorded we worked 14-hour days. So 14 hours a day, 6 million workers, 6 years. Do you know of a single building? No. To come out of the Holocaust at all? I went on one of these Holocaust commemorative trips for my heritage. I got to Poland, I was like, where are the buildings? I would take even a duplex, a townhouse, something with a Holocaust heritage stamp on it, built by the Jews. This is something I could be proud of. And I'm not saying I'm ashamed, I'm not saying I'm ashamed, but I am hoping to contribute a little more this time around, maybe. Maybe Bill's a Billy bookshelf, something, I don't know. Really anything. But the Nazis have gone downhill, haven't they? You see what marched in Charlottesville? You see what marched in Charlottesville? This dreck? I think if the Nazis heard, we compared them to that Charlottesville dreck marching, they'd be sick to their stomachs. This sausage fest and wrinkled polos and khakis. All dudes, no girls, that's one way to come out. Holding your scented candles. The Nazis were in tailored Hugo Boss suits. Tie clips, cufflinks. They walked into a room with a girl on each arm. The piano played on as they gazed. It was a classy fucking affair. And you're gonna bring me these pimple-faced virgins? Thousand gay guys, nobody had an iron? And shout out to the Charlottesville Nazis who were wearing actual Ralph Lauren polos. Thank you for supporting the Jewish designer born Ralph Lipschitz. We appreciate the support, you morons. Oh, these Nazis. I think we'll survive in like a year. If it took 6 years, I think this camp, it'll be done in a day. It'll be like summer camp. It'll be fun. I think it'll be fun. You know, I once described myself actually as laid back in a job interview. They were like, so describe yourself in a couple words. I'm like, pretty laid back. Pretty chill person. Yeah, pretty easy going. Yeah, I'm laid back. I can't even stand pulp and orange juice. I'm laid back. I'm like, you want pulp in your orange juice? Why don't you scratch the skin flakes off your fucking arm? And enjoy your borscht, you sicko. No, but I know you guys have been looking at me the way that I look, the way that I've been speaking all night. What, you don't think I got a pair? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Thank you for asking. Just because I'm not wearing the push-up bras and these things that women are wearing doesn't mean I'm not packing. Yeah, we got a case of the hidden gems is what it is. They could come out at any time and fucking annihilate, so. Yeah, not a lot of people get to see them. Not a lot of people get to see them, but the few who do say they're very proportional, and that's what you want. Very blessed, very blessed. Yeah, small nipples, yeah. No, but I know you guys are looking at me. The way that I sound, the way that I look. What, you don't think I killed it with hand jobs in the ninth grade? Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I did very well. I did very well. Thank you for asking. Thank you for asking. Yeah, yeah. Gave him out like hot tamales. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Couple of tugs is all it needed back then. Couple of tugs is all it needed back then, yeah. Did not know the concept of lube. Gotta say, did not know about lube. A lot of friction-filled hand jobs is what it was. Yeah. You don't think they came back for more? Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. I did very well. I did very well. A lot of bloody hand jobs. Yeah. Yeah. Is cum supposed to be pink? Is that, that's how I grow? And I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I've been threatening to Me Too any men who bother me or talk to me for too long. Listen, Jim, I'd love to hear the rest of your camping weekend with the boys, but I got medium.com open. By tomorrow at 3, your career could be over. If you know what I'm saying, wrap it up. But a lot of men are dealing, they have some issues. I think we can all agree men have some issues. But they're dealing, I'm hearing this one creep up a lot, and I simply, you know, they're dealing with this issue. You know, I'm hearing a lot about the micro penis. You know, and these men, they're dealing with the micro penis, some of them. You know, I saw this UK program, 3 average looking men, but they're all sad there talking about their micro penis. How terrible it is for them that they have to do this micro penis. They have to live with this. One guy was saying it's so hard for him. At some point, he's going out with a girl, 1 or 2 dates in, he's got to tell her that he's got the micro penis. So sad. I got no penis, and I fuck like hell. with a little bit of penis, imagine what I could do. Fuck out of here complaining with your micro penis. Just use that big clit energy. Come on. I'm gonna get out of here. I just wanted to talk about the price of duotangs for half a second. Before I do. Because it is obscene what is happening. I don't know if it's the Canadian dollar or what it is, but you can't get the packages of three anymore. That's over. Now they only sell the singles, $4.99 a piece. And they only sell the ones with the translucent covers. So you gotta waste a piece of loose leaf if you want any privacy. It's sick. It's sick. It's sick. I am Robbie Hoffman. You can fax me at 323-702-1405. Thank you.